Armed Forces Radio Service presents the Theater Guild on the air. Each week at this time, the Theater Guild brings you an interesting dramatic presentation with a cast of prominent stage, screen, and radio personalities. Speaking for the Theater Guild, here is Elliot Reed.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, we bring you the radio premiere of a recent Theater Guild comedy stage success, The Silver Whistle, by Robert E. McEnroe. James Stewart is on hand to play Oliver Erwinter, and Diana Lynn will be heard as Miss Tripp. They will be supported by a fine cast, including members of the original New York Stage Company. So, with an appropriate toot, we raise the curtain on The Silver Whistle, adapted for us by Robert Anderson and directed by Homer Figger.
All right, hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up, folks, and try your luck on the little game. It's 10 cents, a dime, a tenth part of a dollar.
Wilfred, let's get out of here before the cops catch up with us.
Quiet, Emmett, quiet. I think I've got a customer. Step right up, mister. Take a chance.
Here. Take my dime. I warn you, I got a quick eye.
Here you go. Now you see it. Now you don't. The hand is quicker than the eye.
Uh-oh. Come on, Wilfred, the cop.
Hey, where's my dime?
Wilfred, whatever made you think you could pick us up a couple of bucks as a shell game operator?
I used to be pretty good at it.
When?
At the faculty club, amusing my fellow instructors after lunch. Emmett, I'm hungry. That's the only reason I tried it. I'm hungry.
Well, you got the cops after us. That is what you did.
No, they won't follow us into this township.
We are still in the same county.
The cops don't bother me, Emmett. What bothers me is my stomach. You and I have been knights of the road for nigh on 5 years. I don't think I've ever been so hungry. I think I'm going to have to eat that rooster you carry around with you in that cage. Yeah, Omar, that means you.
Over my dead body, you'll eat, Omar.
Well, that could be arranged, too. Yeah, I'm starved. I'm so hungry, I might even consider working for a meal.
Wilfred, what are you doing? I thought we agreed that we would not lower ourselves to poking through trash baskets.
Yes, I'm just... thought I might look at the want ads in the newspaper.
Look, I am hungry too, but no respectable vagabond ever works for a meal. What is that? Mm. What did you find?
Oh, okay, it's a document. Notice the official seal. Well, it's a birth certificate.
Oh, so what? Come on.
A birth certificate for one Oliver T. Erwinter, born 1875.
So, can we eat it?
Well, with some little ingenuity, we might trade it for something to eat. 1875. Mm-hmm. That would make him 77 years old.
So?
Uh-huh. You remember that large and ugly building we passed on the runaways back? With all the walls around it? That was the old people's home.
So?
With this birth certificate and the aforementioned ingenuity, I think I could get admitted to that home for a few weeks of rest, recreation, and most of all, food.
But, Wilfred, you are only 40 years old.
And if I don't eat soon, I'll never get any older.
I tell you, Mr. Beebe, I don't belong in an old people's home. Just sitting around here in the garden with a 10-foot wall all around us, waiting.
Well, Mrs. Hanmer, as long as we have to wait, we may as well sit.
Nobody cares about me, Mr. Beebe. They're willing to let me sit here and rot.
What did you say?
Rot, Miss Audley, rot. Pick up your ear trumpet.
I'm all right. Hurdle's all right.
My back and my appendix. If it wasn't for my back and my appendix, I'd be out of here in a flash. Appendix, Miss Audley.
Have it out.
We're all just sitting around waiting to die. Do you remember Mr. Benson?
Wasn't he the one that was so polite?
That's the one, Mr. Beebe, the polite one. He passed on right in that chair you're sitting in.
In this chair?
On an afternoon just like this one. We were talking, and all of a sudden he says, excuse me, Mrs. Hanmer, and he died.
He was polite right up to the very last.
Mm-hmm.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Hello, Miss Tripp.
It's time for your medicine. Mrs. Sampler, here are your pills.
The flowers have all wilted, Miss Tripp.
Flowers won't grow in this garden. The whole place is old. And the ground is old. It's an old dump.
Miss Tripp isn't old. She's young and pretty.
I'd be ashamed to run an old dump, Miss Tripp.
Sometimes I am ashamed, Mrs. Hanmer, but there isn't much I can do.
The supervisor's stuck on you. I don't know why you can't ask
Please,
him
Mrs. For... Hanmer.
Yes, I guess the flowers didn't want to live here with us ugly old people.
Stop fishing for compliments, Miss Sampler.
You're not ugly and old, Mrs. Sampler. You're pretty. Why, with your beautiful white hair and the roses in your cheeks, you're pretty as a picture on a candy box.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Beebe. I do my best.
She's 78 years old and she acts coy. Whoever heard of a 78-year-old minx?
I'm only 74 years old, Mrs. Hanmer.
You're 78, and what's more, you look every day of it.
ladies, please. Now, you must rock quietly or you'll have to go indoors. Now, Mr. Cherry, here's your medicine.
Thank you, Miss Tripp. I was just putting this stamp from Afghanistan, my stamp album.
Oh, that's very pretty, Mr. Cherry. Yeah. Miss Hoadley, put your earphone in your ear. I want to talk to you.
She's been drinking again, Miss Tripp.
I don't want to hear you. I feel like a millionaire. Hoadley's all right. Hoadley's a good girl.
She doesn't even know she's in an old people's home.
She's certainly tipsy.
Tipsy? She's plastered.
Now, Mrs. Hanmer. You haven't taken your pills.
Not going to either. My appendix is acting up again.
Now, do you remember what happened the last time you thought you had appendicitis? It was just a little gas.
It was my appendix. You risked my life to save the money for an operation.
Mrs. Hanmer, you know that isn't so. Why, we had the doctor in for you. Do you remember what he gave you?
I remember. He gave
her... Yes. All right, Mr. Beebe. Now, here comes the supervisor. Sit up and look your best for Mr. Watson.
Good evening, ladies. Oh, hello, Harriet. Thank you for straightening up my study and for the little dish of fruit.
Well, that's all right. Why, look at your coat. One of the buttons is missing.
No, yes.
Sometimes I think you need as much attention as the guests.
Now, how is everyone this afternoon?
Well, there's not much use in telling you, but my appendix is bad again.
Mrs. Hanmer, we live in a relatively poor county. We can't afford to spend money on unnecessary operations.
Everyone will be sorry if I die doubled up in a knot.
Now, I have just received a phone call from the director of our home here. He says we're to have a new guest, a Mr. Oliver T. Erwinter. Mr. Erwinter is 77 years old, but the director informs me that he's very spry and young for his age. He's traveled all over the world and has many interesting stories to tell. So I'd like you to make a good impression on him, if you will.
We'll try, Mr. Watson.
Well, I'll be in my study when he comes. Thank you again, Harriet, for the dish of fruit.
You're welcome, John. Mr. Watson?
What you see in that man, I don't know. I suppose some people would say he's good-looking.
Now, Mrs. Hanmer.
Did he propose yet?
Propose what?
Well, marriage. Man in his position, what else could he propose?
We have an understanding, Mrs. Hanmer.
Oh, you have an understanding. I haven't got a ring.
Now, that will do, Mrs. Hanmer. Mr. Beebe... Mr. Cherry, will you help me get Miss Hoadley inside? I don't like her sitting here in the yard in this condition when our new guest arrives.
Isn't it a shame she took to drink?
Isn't it a shame? We don't know where she took it from.
Ah, good afternoon, ladies. Is this the home of the age?
Can't bring that bird in this yard.
Madam, you have offended my rooster. Quiet, Omar. Quiet.
Who are you, sir?
I am Oliver Erwinter, the new guest.
What? You don't look 77 to me.
Madam, my body has weathered 77 winters. My bones are old and brittle. My blood flows slowly, and the chill of night torments my flesh. But my heart is that of a youth. Now, will you direct me, please, where
we go here? Oh, here's Miss Tripp. She'll tell you what to do. What you'll do is nothing.
Are you Mr. Erwinter?
Ah, a tender bud among the cactus.
I had an idea that you would be much older, Mr. Erwinter.
Yes, my appearance is deceptive, very deceptive. I'm 77 years old, 77.
Why, that's amazing. I don't mean to offend you,
not
but...
Not offended in the least, no. To allay all doubts, I've brought along my birth certificate. Here it is.
Yes. Where is your luggage, Mr. Erwinter?
Well, due to a disastrous fire which wiped out my effects, I have nothing in the world except this lovely rooster in the cage here.
Looks as though I've been a rooster too long.
Madam, this is Omar, the greatest living fighting cock in the world today. Omar, attend that the ladies may see the fiery glint in your eye and the rippling muscles that propel you. Now let's hear your battle cry. Yes, they just plain tuckered out. Needs a rest, so do I.
Oh, Mr. Beebe, Mr. Cherry, Mr. Erwinter has arrived.
Oh, how do you do, gentlemen?
Mr. Erwinter.
How do you do?
Mr. Beebe used to work in an insurance company in Hartford.
Oh, that's so?
Yes, I worked for the same company for 45 years. Fire,
yes,
marine...
Yes. And this is Mr. Cherry. Mr. Cherry collects stamps.
I understand that you've traveled, Mr. Erwinter.
Yes, I've been in most places in the world that men go to, and a few that most men have never seen.
What is your opinion of Africa, Mr. Erwinter?
The veldt, the jungles, the hill country.
Well, the veldt.
It's hot, it's flat, and it stinks. You've never smelled the stinks till you've smelled the stink of the veldt.
Jungles. What can you tell us about the jungles?
You know what the veldt's like.
The smell.
Now, well, the jungles are worse. They steam. The trees are wet with steam, and they're full of crawling insects and slimy vines and giant spiders, crocodiles and man-eating fish inhabit the streams and the rivers, and fever germs swarm in every breath you take. Yeah, you think the veldt stinks. Well, you'll smell it and like it after you get out of the jungle.
What a romantic life you've led, Mr. Winter. You must have been in love many times.
Love? Well, it's hard to say. Hard to say. Of course, there have been women all over the world, of course, but love...
Well, how do you explain your youthful appearance, Mr. Erwinter?
Oh, that interests you, does it, my little one? Yes. Do you find my appearance provocative?
Oh, I'm just curious.
Well, then I'll tell you. The main thing that keeps me looking young... is living every moment as though it were going to be my last. Of course, being in full possession of all my powers helps some.
What?
Let him talk. The man's the biggest liar I ever met.
Mr. Erwinter, there are some things we don't talk about here.
Oh, forgive me, forgive me. I had forgotten that one so young and lovely was listening. You're a very attractive woman. You're far too attractive to be trapped in such a dingy place as this.
Tell us more about keeping young, Mr. Erwinter.
Oh, well, yes. Back in 1918, when I was, 1918, when I was 45 years old, I made a trip into Outer Mongolia.
Why did you go there?
No reason. I'd never been to Outer Mongolia, and I was 45 years old. I decided it was high time that I went there.
So you just went?
Just went, that's all. Yes, it was there that I first met Lo Chin Poo, the man who set my sights on destiny.
He spoke English?
I speak Chinese. And one day as we walked, we looked into each other's eyes and I had knowledge. He swore friendship and he gave me a great gift.
A potion of twinsy. No man could give another more.
But what was the potion for?
The potion was the elixir of youth. After man had crossed the meridian of life, these emotions cool. The potion of twinsy brings back to life that force in man that makes him flame.
Oh, my, do you suppose
it's that? Mr. Winter, I think before things go any farther, you'd better meet Mr. Watson. He's the superintendent in charge here. Would you come along?
Mr. Erwinter, in spite of your birth certificate, it's difficult to believe that...
Mr. Watson, you're skeptical about my age. I don't blame you. But I say that anyone can do it. I say to you, in all earnestness, Mr. Watson, that I can take years off the lives of all your guests here.
You can?
25 years off the life of each one of these old people here. 25 years.
Can you imagine being 25 years younger?
Mr. Winter.
Yes, Mrs. Apple?
If a person tried very hard, could she take off 30 years?
Wouldn't you know? Offer 25 and she'll try for 30.
Friends, I'm sure Mr. Erwinter didn't mean for us to take him literally.
Why not, sir?
Well, are you suggesting that you can make people younger?
Are you suggesting I can't?
I am.
Well, then I think I'll do it.
Oh, well, let's start.
Mr. Erwinter, just what are you planning to do?
I was planning to play upon the silver whistle.
A silver whistle?
Yes. The old dog crawled away to die and hid amid the thistle. Then joy and youth came back to him on the note of a silver whistle. In a certain sense, I have that whistle that'll call these people back to youth. Of course, you wouldn't understand, Mr. Watson.
I am not without understanding.
No, not of the things I speak, of pipes of Pan, of pagan madness, of moonlight mist.
I must ask you to refrain from talking so wildly.
What, are you afraid what might happen? And you, Miss Tripp, are you afraid of life?
She is not afraid, Mr. Erwinter.
Oh, you answers all her questions for her. I say again, Miss Tripp, I find you very attractive.
Well, thank you, Mr. Erwinter.
Miss Tripp, please.
Why, is it against the rules to tell Miss Tripp that she's attractive?
That's supper. We must all go wash up.
Oh, supper. Food. Oh, yes, I was hoping you'd eat early.
Hey, Mr. Erwinter. Mr. Erwinter. Mr. Erwinter, what is your opinion of Cairo?
Cairo? Cairo. Well, Cairo is a city so full of wickedness that it is hard for a normal man to sin there. I like it very much.
Mr.
Beebe? Oh, I see. You're ready for bed.
Yes, I just thought I'd come out for a breath of air. Isn't it nice, Alf?
Isn't it nice? Yes. It was on such a night as this that I climbed the trellis outside Lillian Russell's window.
I see. I was just wondering, the potion of twinsy, the one that brings to life that force within a man that makes him flame.
Yes?
Now, is it a powder or a liquid?
Well, it's not exactly either.
Do you carry it with you?
Well, I'm out of it at the moment. I sent it to Bet for some 6 weeks ago.
Oh. Did you leave a change of address?
Well, it will come to me general delivery. It may be down at the post office right now.
When was the last time you checked at the post office?
About a week ago, Miss Beebe.
Well, it may be there. It may be there right now.
Yes. Well, I'll drop down tomorrow and see if there's anything in from Tibet.
Mr. Erwinter.
Yes, Miss Beebe.
I guess you think I sound awfully eager, but, well, we're all very excited about your plan to take 25 years off our lives.
Good. Good. That's the first step.
But you will do it, won't you? You're not just talking, are you?
No, I'm not, Mr. Beebe, and I'll do it.
Mr.
I'll
Beebe?
Do it, Mr. Beebe.
Come
I will.
To bed.
Yes, yes, coming, Miss Tripp.
Pleasant dreams, Mr. Beebe.